Welcome back to the second hour of the 9 till noon show. Good morning if you've just switched on. Some of you still, actually, historically, this programme started at 10. Some of you still have your routine where you come on at 10. It's great to have you on whatever time you join us, but you miss some really interesting conversation if you're not with us at 9, focusing on your local area with your local views. 086 60 25,000, that's how you share them with us, by the way, or your stories or any information you want to pass on. Good news, we love that too, and it's great to see people sending through positive experiences, acts of kindness, good experiences with services. More than happy to platform them too. This program does not have any agenda, by the way, which I hope people know. I think people get that. A caller says, it's madness having a rally at all with all the people that are losing their lives on our roads. This is a weekend that so many parents are dreading because they only have to watch a short clip of rally cars doing well over 100 kilometres an hour and spectators standing only feet away from these cars. What about poor animals in fields? They're frightened with all the noise and people climbing over gates and fences. It's not right closing roads for days and allowing this to happen. And listen, your point stands and it's your point and I'm not criticising it. I think, though, landowners got notification quite some time ago that this was happening, and I do know personally of farmers that move their livestock away from the route of the rally because it's for most areas it's just for a couple of hours in one day. A lot of, you know, people are going to drive cars anyway. What the message you hope is that you keep the race in its place and that these are professionals and they've got all the safety gear and the harnesses, and very sadly sometimes even that's not enough to save a life or serious injury. But I don't know. I think educating people that this stuff happens but don't do it or be safe when you're doing what you're doing perhaps is more beneficial than banning it altogether. But that's just my view, and yours is a legitimate one, well thought out, and we appreciate your time. Michael Healy, Ray never answered the question, who's pushing the suicide debate? That's, again, and it's an honest question, and it's not coming from a pro or anti position, because as I said, and I mean this hand on my heart, I haven't formalized my opinion. But I was thinking about it during the 10 o'clock news, and this would be the sort of the way I might be considering this going forward. And I understand that there are people that get illnesses where they deteriorate, and for some they might not be able to deal with that or don't want to. And but let's just say in a case of someone, one of my relations who was sick, they had a cancer that could not be cured, and they were deteriorating as they went along, and up until, you know, pretty much the last day, they were planning for the future and talking about, even though they knew they were dying, they were planning for the future and talking about getting home and talking about diet plans and that type of thing. If we did have, and we were blessed then with an extra, you know, couple of months, difficult but couple of months, then I'm trying to think of what would the situation be like if there was assisted suicide, stroke assisted dying in this country. Would that person have spent, would they have said, oh, you know, I don't want to keep bringing these people up and down from Letterkenny. I'm going to die anyway. Should I just get it over and done with? Or would, you know, how would conversations with them have been if that was an option? Would it have dominated the conversation in the latter months of their lives that they felt as if that they were a burden, or I'll go and let these people get on with their lives? Or, you know, would it have been, I don't think a lot of people would be thinking about their own well-being. Do you know what I mean? Some would, of course. I just think an awful lot of people would start thinking about, right, I don't want to put my family through this. I think I would do that. I think I would go, I don't want my boys and partner to look at me deteriorate. Or would I be doing it for me, saying that I don't want to put up with this pain any longer, or I don't want to lose the ability to do this, that, and the other? Like, that's the reality of the conversations and decision-making that would be happening. You know, would you have people making the decision because they don't want to be a burden or something? And that's, if it ever comes down to a vote, that's the kind of stuff I would have to process through. But I'm just trying to think, in a real-life situation, you know, would it have changed everything? Would it have changed those last couple of months to make it that we were talking about other things, or that they would never have happened? And then if you did make that decision, it might have seemed like the right decision at the past, if you were part of it, you know, but then, you know, how we all grieve differently and how we all mourn differently. Would you regret those Would we be selfish for the pain that they were going through if they weren't on pain relief or couldn't get pain relief and then start feeling guilty that we lost time with them that we could have had? Or is that also selfish? I don't know. So that's the kind of broad conversation I think we should be having. And I think we should, you know, make sure that we have control of the conversation rather than it coming to us in 9 or 10 months' time. I'm not entirely sure, the difference between palliative care at end of life and assisted suicide, and I get to where you're going with this, I think. I know what each is, but at the end of life, palliative care measures such as withdrawal of treatments, i.e. medication or oxygen and food, fluids are often in place. Administration of strong medication is common. I agree, I know that too. I know that assisted suicide is the choice of the person to end their life at a particular time, but I just see so many grey areas, like, is it not okay to have good, effective end-of-life palliative care rather than this? Who or how can determine the right for assisted suicide? Well, you determine it yourself and with doctors. I know for a case in Belgium, it's legal. And I would know of a case of a person who had, I believe it was MS that they had. And they, and this is exactly how it happened, by the way, because I know for a fact, okay, this is not something I read in the internet or anecdotal. This is how it happened. They were in their mid-30s. They were, you know, obviously the condition had begun to take its toll, but they went out. They had breakfast with their friends, a group of 5 or 6 friends. They went and had a couple of drinks. And then they went to a clinic and they consumed a vial or drink and they died that afternoon. Now, they would have lived for a long time beforehand, but this person who had MS had decided that that's as far as they wanted to go. So it wasn't sort of in a hospital, they're in pain, lying in a bed, you know, it was, they were up and about, they went, as I said, went and had breakfast with their friends, and they were able to choose who was with them in the room as they consumed this liquid. That's the reality of it, and as I say, that's not me talking about something I read or whatever. I know this to be the case as an absolute fact because I saw the pictures, the goodbye pictures, effectively, thumbs up and smiles and arms around each other. And then an hour later, that person had passed away, but and it was their own choice. That was in Belgium. I believe it was Belgium. So that it is not. So those are the kind of scenarios. Now, whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, it's not always, you know, in the hospital environment and people writhing in agony, that would happen too. But this, that's how a fella in his mid-30s, as I say, went out with his mates, and it was scheduled for that afternoon. He went in, consumed this liquid, and then they passed away. So that's what could potentially be happening here. And they had many years left, I believe, but they had just, their quality of life had diminished to the point that they chose at that point that they wanted to pass away. So that's the that's kind of the also the reality in there as well.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91 26025.
Okay, it is Tuesday morning, the 13th of June, 2023, and it's time for the latest community information item. And in studio with me today is Garda Niall Maguire of the Milford District Garda Station. Niall, thank you so much, as always, for calling up.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, so get your ears peeled and see if you can assist Garda in any of their investigations. We have a bit of information for you a little later on. Okay, we'll start with a road traffic collision at the bottom of Ballyshannon.
Yeah, Lower Main Street, Ballyshannon. A cyclist was knocked down by a vehicle on Tuesday the 6th of June at 1:20 p.m. So 1:20 in the afternoon. The driver was not hurt. However, the cyclist needed medical attention for injuries sustained, none of which are life-threatening, thank goodness. So if anybody observed that collision at Lower Main Street, Ballyshannon on Tuesday the 6th of June at approximately 1:20 p.m, please contact my colleagues in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530.
All right. Now, criminal damage being investigated in Lifford, Niall.
Yeah. We have a few different ones in relation to windows being broken, Greg. This is one of them at Hollybush Park, Port Hall, Lifford, on Thursday the 8th of June at 11:20 p.m. Hollybush Park, Port Hall, Lifford. A window of the house in the state was smashed at the time. Thankfully, no one was home. And if anybody can help us in solving this crime, please contact the Gardaí in Letterkenny on 074-9167-100 or indeed the confidential telephone line 1-800-666-111. And that goes for any of these appeals. Please feel free to use the Gardaí confidential line. It's just a simple phone call and you can leave a message. You don't even have to speak to anybody, Greg.
Yeah, and we're going to hear more of these, but every time they're mentioned, Niall, and I've said it before and I'm going to say it again, you know, people have their young ones in cribs close to the windows, be lying on couches. I mean, it's only a matter of time, isn't it, before one of these results in serious injuries. Now, I know the last appeal, the house wasn't occupied, but it's not always the case. I mean, this could be a really, really serious crime. It's serious as is, but you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, listen, why people are doing it, there's different motivations for it. You know, people do get caught doing this, Greg, through our own detective work or neighbours or somebody seeing it. You know, if you're having a problem with the neighbour or somebody else, you know, it's not worth ending up in court over. You know, let it go. You know, you're only damaging your own credibility. It's a cowardly thing to do, just smash somebody's window in the middle of the night. And yeah, it is a ticking time bomb if there's a child. And we've had it close a few times. And, you know, if that was to happen, well, then that would just be a disaster.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, an appeal now as it relates to criminal damage in Gortlea.
Yes, at Cooldurra, Gortlea, Letterkenny, on Saturday the 10th of June, shortly after 5:30 p.m, a resident was at home this time and they heard glass smashing through their sitting room window. A rock had been thrown through the window. So again, another window broken. Please, if anyone saw this happening, it did happen during broad daylight, Greg, at quite a busy time. You can imagine at Gortlea there, it's quite busy. On Saturday the 10th of June at 5:30 p.m, please maybe give us a call, or if you haven't seen anything suspicious on your dash cam, please make it available to the Gardaí in Letterkenny.
All right, okay. Now, criminal damage investigation in the Port Road area of Letterkenny.
Yeah, more windows smashed, this time on a digger at Port Road, Letterkenny, between Friday the 9th of June, 4 p.m, and Saturday the 10th of June at 10 a.m. A Hitachi digger had been parked in a field overnight, and when the owner returned the following morning, the side and the back window were smashed. There is a roadway down the side of the port house, and this is how access is gained to the field where the digger was parked. So again, this happened between the June 9th and the 10th. Please call my colleagues in Letterkenny, 9167100, if you can help us in solving this.
Now, your colleagues in Ballyshannon investigating a couple of incidences in nearby Bundoran.
Yeah, on Thursday the 8th of June in Bundoran, a report came in relation to a fire at a derelict building along the Promenade Road in Bundoran shortly after 5:50 p.m. The fire services attended and extinguished that fire, and then at 6:35, so less than an hour later, they were still at the scene and they got a report of another fire that appeared to be started deliberately in a skip this time in the area of a business which is situated along the Promenade Road. Again, they attended and put the fire out. Both of the fires, we believe, have been started maliciously. We appeal to all road users who travel in that area between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in Bundoran to make their dash cam footage available to us, or indeed if they saw anything, please let my colleagues in Ballyshannon, and the number again, 071-9858-530.
Right, now we do this from time to time, which is great. An update on an appeal that featured on the item.
Yeah, thanks to anybody that called in relation to a burglary that helped us arrest a suspected offender. We had a burglary last week in Blue Cedars in Balbuffet on June the 6th. This chap has been arrested and questioned, and the incident has been investigated and a file is being prepared for the DPP.
Yes, and now because of the way investigation works and their ongoing nature, or if there's charges and all that type of stuff, we can't always give updates, but it's worth reminding people that the information they pass on does help form part of the Garda investigation, and sometimes it can be a critical part of that. So it's well worth the time. And I know we kind of have to repeat the dash cam stuff and that, but it's critical to this whole process, isn't it? And it takes it holds bad people to account.
Absolutely, Greg. You know, I'm coming on here and we're appealing for information in relation to crimes. What you don't hear about is the crimes that are solved and offenders going to court. I was in court yesterday. It's out the door, Greg, with people that have been caught committing various crimes. So it's not as if to say people aren't being detected, it is being detected, Greg. Yeah. And sometimes, yeah, we need to push that message across too.
Rightio. Car security. Now, the reason, again, we have to revisit these issues is because they're often based on investigations and intelligence and what have you. And we can be a bit laxy-daisy because we do live in a beautiful part of the world and we've got beautiful beaches and car parks and all that kind of stuff. But we have to make sure our vehicles are secure, don't we?
Yeah, last week we mentioned that there were two vehicles in Milford were we're not going to say broken into. They were just open because they were unlocked and some property was taken out of it. We've had another two vehicles this week in Milford on the 5th and 6th past. And again, these were unlocked. So regardless of whether you're leaving your vehicle in your driveway or public car park, you need to lock it, Greg. Mm. Simple as that, because, you know, if it's something like, you don't even have to, you know, people go through your glove box and your boot and your little pocket in the middle. And if you've glass sunglasses, even wallets, purses, anything, you know, even phone charges, it can all be taken and it's worth something to somebody, you know.
Yeah, lock them up. All right, okay. And I mean, at the end of the day, even if we're not here saying windows were smashed or laptops were stolen, but even in if a vehicle or van, bus, car, if it's left unopened, it's still illegal for you to gain entry to it and mess about with it.
Oh, of course, yeah. That's exactly the point, Greg. But yeah. You know, it's so simple. Just, you know, lock your car. It should become habit. And, you know, I don't know where these particular cars were parked, if they were in public car parks or on the driveways, but no matter what, it's just a click of a button to lock most cars.
That's it. Right, okay. We mentioned it earlier on. It is rally time again. Now, I know from a Garda perspective, it's a huge operation working in association with the organisers and what have you. But it is, as you say, that time of the year again.
Yeah, it's a busy time of the year for ourselves, for the Donegal International Rally people as well. You know, it's taking place this weekend, as you know. We will be out in force this weekend. And as always, they'll be applying a zero tolerance approach. We have been facilitated by the court service. There are three special sittings of the district court in relation to any issues that come up over the weekend, Greg, and we will be utilising that as we do every year. And you don't want to be one of them people arrested and kept in custody overnight and having to sit in front of the district court in the morning. You know, every year a small minority of people appear to have no interest in the rally itself, and they just land for, you know, driving dangerously and showing off and, you know, taking risks and risking their own lives and the lives of others. And, you know, if these people value their licence, then they need to leave the rally to the competitors and not on the public road. And I suppose one of the main things we can do as parents and guardians is to talk to our young people. Like, it's also our responsibility to make sure they're, I suppose, equipped with the right maybe decision-making, you know, guidance to make the right decisions on the road and not be influenced by peers, or, you know, to make sure that they're well aware not to be under the influence of any kind of intoxicant drugs or drink. Always to wear their seatbelt and not to get involved in reckless or speeding behaviour on the road, Greg. So, yeah, parents and guardians, we have a responsibility to make sure that our young people are equipped. And I want to say young people, Greg, you know, we don't like profiling people, but I can tell you now, it's blatantly obvious. It's young fellas in their late teens and early 20s is the people that are being arrested every year. So it'll be the same this year again, unfortunately.
Yeah, and, you know, it only takes one poor decision, a split second, and it's all over.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Yeah, we're no strangers to having disasters here, Greg, you know.
So, yes, it'll be out in force. There's already scheduled sitting of the court, so no one's going to be overrun and you'll get away with it. Presumably the tinted windows, noisy exhausts, modified cars, all that stuff will be looked at as well.
Of course, Greg, as is the norm, but yeah, but the fact that there'll be so many traffic corps, Gardaí in place, the Garda helicopter's up for the weekend as well, and it'll be there operating day and night. And if anybody needs to contact the guards, you know, you can contact Letterkenny, Ballyshannon, Milford, any Garda station, or indeed Buncrana, actually, or in an emergency, contact 999 or 112.
Okay, Garda Noel McGuire of the Milford District Garda Station, thanks for your time as always. We appreciate you coming down to see us. That was Community Garda Information for Tuesday the 13th of June 2023. It's back with you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. And we are back on the 9 till noon show. Thank you so much for all of your messages that are coming in on various topics. We'll get to those in a moment. But first, we have a word of warning for you. And to help us get that message across, Trace McCauley joins us. Trace, how are you getting on?
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. Now, you bought a fan. Was it for your car?
It was, yeah. So a wee wireless rechargeable fan we bought for the baby. So we've just had a wee baby there.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So we had bought it 2 months ago, I think it was. And so what happened was we were taking the wee one out for a walk yesterday. So we were getting under the car just to go out to the local country park. And I had just charged it in the house to bring it out to connect it to the stroller and the car first and then onto the stroller.
Yeah.
And I had brought the changing bag and the fan out to the car and came back in, lifted the baby and come out to the car, opened the door, and the full car was full of smoke. The fan had exploded in the car. We're not sure what happened, what the malfunction was, but it exploded and had set the seats in the car on fire.
And the baby's car seat.
Yeah, and the baby's car seat as well. Yep, thank God the baby wasn't in the car seat, because it's not worth thinking about what would have happened if the baby was on there.
And open the door, back of the car full of smoke. I think by the looks of things, if the car had been left for another while, it could have just completely gone up in flames.
Definitely. And honestly, it was at very most 2 minutes I was away from the car. I went down, got the baby and straight out to the car again because it was starving. We were going for our dinner.
Right,
so
okay.
Came out within 2 minutes. The whole thing was covered in smoke. The seats, the actual seats on the car were melted, the leather on the seats, and the baby's car seat was the same too. It was horrific.
What a shock. And this is not something that plugs into the electricity and runs at home or plugs into the cigarette lighter or the, you know what they call it now. This was battery operated. You wouldn't imagine maybe with a couple of AAAs or AAs that it could malfunction like this.
Yeah, that's it. And it wasn't even turned on. That was what was shocking us so much,
right,
because
okay.
I thought maybe if it was turned on, maybe it would overheat it being on. I had just charged it in the house and brought it out and just sat it on the seat in the car, and it just exploded. We were very, very lucky that it wasn't a minute before or a minute after, because it was either going to be in my hand or sitting in front of the baby.
Right, scary. And it's a little fan, and you can understand exactly why you would get them, because it's really humid, just to circulate a little bit of air, because it gets very stuffy at times, even in the back with aircon in a lot of cars. If you have it, it still can be stuffy in the back for the young one. So it's perfectly understandable as to why you had it.
Yeah.
But my word, I don't think you'll be getting another one, Trace.
It's advertised as a baby fan, so a stroller, like for the prams and for the cars and stuff. That's what's so scary about it, because a lot of our friends and stuff that we were talking to were saying that they have the same one or a similar one that they use for their babies.
Yeah, and listen, we keep our eyes on our children all the time, don't we, Trace? But it's not 24/7, you know what I mean? There are times where they feel safe and you know, you'd never know what could have happened. So this is one of those ones. It could have been so much, much worse. I think it's a real world to the warning. If I had one, I wouldn't be using it, put it like that.
That's it. There'll be no more fans in our house anyway.
Yeah, okay. All right, Trace. Listen, thank you very much for that. Thanks for helping us get the message out. I think it's an important one. Thank you.
No problem. Thank
All right.
you very much.
Okay, fair play. And I'm glad everyone's okay. Trace McCauley there, who had one of these little plastic fans. For those watching, I'll show you images of it. They're not fantastic, but you can get a message. And it's actually advertised as a fan. It's actually advertised as a fan for babies. But you can see, and there's further damage on the vehicle. The pictures I'm showing here are black and white, but the baby seat, the back seats, all went on fire. And look at some people, like it didn't happen in this case, but we do know that some people might nip in and grab something, even from the house. I'm not saying from the, you know, you put the baby in the child seat and you go in and grab a few bags. By the time you got out, who's to say what could have happened? Okay, so don't want to do any company out of business, but just in case it's part of a bad batch, I don't know if the battery's overheated or shorted or whatever it might be, or if it was the fan, we don't know. But anyway, just a word of warning. I wouldn't say stop using them, but I certainly wouldn't use them close to a baby after that, or leave them unattended with it. Okay, thanks, Trace, for that. Have you had a similar experience? Anything like that there, by the way? That's a perfect example of another reason to text or WhatsApp us, you know, to help us get information out there, to help our fellow citizens. Right, I'm going to go through some comments now, then a break, then our next guest. Assisted suicide, says this listener. Why are we so against assisting people who are choosing to assist people who are at the end of their life to end their pain? But we're okay with assisting to end the lives of innocent babies through abortion who have no choice. Well, you see, then you get into at what point is a baby a baby? And I get where you're coming from. I personally would prefer to have this conversation, not on this program, but in the country, I don't mind what you just want to talk about, how you want to talk about it separate, because, you know, what's going to happen is that it's not conflation and it is at the same time. We need to talk of all the ramifications, I think, of assisted suicide on the population, but then comparing it to another set of legislation, I don't think it might allow us to have that full conversation that's required. Why are we talking about being against assisted suicide when the government are unofficially doing this anyway by not having a proper system in place for those who need help? If someone is having suicidal thoughts, they're referred to their GP. First of all, you would be lucky to get an appointment nowadays, and even if you do, GPs do not have the relevant training to help someone in this position, nor is A&E a place for someone in this position. Also, they don't seem to care about the psychological damage that they are doing to people being keeping them in mica homes. No emergency there either. Look, that maybe that's why they're calling it assisted dying. This is not. This are people who are not suicidal. It's that they are physically sick and want to end that. Absolutely agree that changes in legislation creep in, then get watered down. Another, why are we not asking why or how the woman who was imprisoned for taking the abortion pills found herself in this position? It's shocking that she was jailed. She should have been given full psychological support, indeed. And that is another point of view out there, of course. Right, okay. Over on Facebook and Instagram, we asked, what are your thoughts on yesterday's announcement that work is beginning on the installation of new traffic light systems at the Polestar roundabout? Some of your comments here, Rachel said they need to put a set of lights at Killylaston Junction at the filling station too. It's a free-for-all up there. Nobody knows who is the right of way and traffic is increasing, long overdue. Several roads converging and no traffic management system in place. It's only a matter of time before there is a crash. Another, Owen says all roundabouts out. They removed those years ago in Galway City and traffic flow was much better. Controversial. Anne says, much needed. It's about time that this was done. Make it fair, functional system. And Trina, great move. We'll give traffic coming out by the tourist office a chance. Yeah, okay. Do you know what they should do? Drastic as it might seem. Install a little stick on the side of a steering wheel, right? And it's connected to lights at the corner of the car. And then when you go to a roundabout, you bloody use them. And say you're turning left, you pull down and the lights on the left flash. Or if you're turning right, the lights on the right flash. Wouldn't that be brilliant? And then all drivers would use them. And then roundabouts become so much more effective because we all know what everybody else is doing. It's a crazy thought, I know. Who would, I mean, it's too late to introduce. Oh my God, you could call them indicators because it would indicate your intention on the roads. I'm talking to you BMW and Audi drivers. Okay, it's that time of the morning where we play our quiz. We have a great prize. I don't have the information, Caroline. Where's the information? The prizes and what I have to read out. And I think you're trying to make me look bad here. But I've got names and I don't have anything else. Right, now, thank you very much, Caroline. We are going to play our fantastic quiz. It's thanks to Virgin Media Full Fibre Broadband. It's arrived in Donegal, you know, and to celebrate all this week on the 9 till noon show, we'll be giving away a €100 one for all voucher every day, courtesy of our friends at Virgin Media. Check out virginmedia.ie to see if you can avail of the 2 gig full fibre broadband speeds. Now, we have two callers joining us on the programme very shortly. We have two questions. I will play a piece of music and then either of our contestants will shout play if they want to answer a question on that piece of music. Now, right? Now, this is where it gets interesting. I will ask them a question. Whoever answers the question first, quickest, it'll be a separate question for each, wins a €100 one for all voucher. Right. Kevin Doherty is in Redcastle. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning, mate.
How are you getting on, Kevin?
Not too bad.
Right, Rian O'Reilly from Anna Gree's with us as well. Rian, how are you? Or is it Ryan? I beg your pardon? Ryan or Rian? Sorry, I didn't have your fader up.
Rian.
Beautiful name. Okay. Right, folks, I'm going to play a piece of music or a bit from a film. Kevin and Rian, you decide if you want to take the first question by saying play. So whichever of you says play first gets the first question. So it depends if you're a fan of this musician, okay? So are you ready, Rian? Are you clear on the rules?
Yeah.
That makes one of us. Kevin, how are you getting on?
I think I understand.
Excellent. Right, I'm going to play this. If you want to play this question, simply say play, and whoever's first gets the question.
Play.
Right. Okay, that was you first, Kevin, wasn't it?
Yep.
Okie dokie. Right. Now, the quicker you answer this question, that will be your time. And I've got my little timer here. I have indeed. Okay. Right. Let me just see. That is working. Yeah, okay. Right. The question, 9 to 5 is a song written and recorded by American entertainer Dolly who?
Pardon?
Right. Okay. That's 2 seconds. All right. I've got 2 seconds here. Right. This is setting up your question, Rian. Play this for you now.
Life was like a box of chocolates.
Play this one. This is your question. Right. The question is, and I've got the timer ready to go. I'm just resetting it here. Who played Forrest Gump?
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. I'm afraid, Rian, you were quick, but you were just half a second behind Kevin. Kevin is our winner. You got it, Rian, but unfortunately you just slightly missed out. We're going to send you out a 9 till noon show mug as a thank you for taking part, Rian. Enjoy beautiful Anagri. Thank you very much indeed. And Kevin, I've done it. I've done a successful quiz. I did a quiz. You have won a €100 one for all voucher. It is yours. We'll get it out to you. Congratulations. You can spend that in a myriad of shops on anything that you like. And thank you so much for taking part today.
Well
done to you. All right. The winner, Kevin Doherty, Redcastle. He has won a €100 one for all voucher. We'll do the same tomorrow. The difference in time there, by the way, was 2.1 seconds for Kevin and 2.6 seconds for Rian. And it's just as the answer was concluded. All right. Okay. Now we have... we had a bit of fun yesterday, I think, someone said. Okay. We can't do it wrong every day. Right, okay, well done. We're going to go back. It's going to be even better for Wednesday. I'm so excited already. Thanks to Virgin Media, by the way. Right, a caller says, if they put up traffic lights at the Port Bridge, they would be better closing off Letterkenny altogether. I won't be going to shop in it along with a lot of other people. The only thing is that I suppose... there's going to be a couple of stages of this. There's going to be the inconvenience of the traffic lights. Then we have to see how they're sequenced. And then they're going to have to tweak the sequencing. It is possible, although I'm not optimistic, it is possible that things could improve. So we'll have to just watch with interest, suck it and see, I suppose. Now, Ardswold Garden Community Project are having an open day this coming Saturday, June 17th, between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. There's a raffle, refreshments, a plant sale and music. Everybody's welcome. The weather's looking pretty good for the weekend as well. That's the Ardswold Garden Community Project Open Day. If you want something to do Saturday afternoon, it's running between 2 p.m. and also 4 p.m. All right, some more of your comments coming here. I have had 3 members of my family die very young from cancer. None of them would have opted for assisted death. If the choice was mine, I would have signed the papers to stop their suffering. It's such a personal choice that can only be made by the person themselves. But Greg, you are right. They might make the decision to stop being a burden, and that's not right either. And that is the problem, isn't it? That is the struggle that I have because I can't make up my mind. I don't want, and the example I gave, and not to go over it again, I wouldn't have wanted that person so important to me and who I loved so much to be considering in the last, you know, throws of the dice that they were doing something for me and others, if you know what I mean. Hi, Greg. I've been thinking in the past about life and death and for myself. If I had no quality of life and could not look after myself, I would definitely like to have a choice and leave this world with dignity and not be suffering. Always enjoy your shows. That comes in from Sylvia. And Sylvia, there is a perfect example of you. Hopefully in really good health at the moment, and you're able to think, I suppose, with pure clarity as to what you want. How do we make sure, Sylvia, that your requests, your wishes are respected, which they probably should be? A caller says, assisted suicide was introduced to Canada under compassionate grounds, yet within 2 years the law was changed to allow people over the age of 16 to avail of it if they had a doctor's letter saying they suffered from chronic depression. Ireland will be no different. We might just do a little bit of research on that one just to see if that's exactly the case. I'm not saying you're wrong, just it just to be absolutely sure that that's precisely what changed. Let me see. Hi, Greg. Listening to the program this morning, re-assisted dying. What's the difference of assisted? Does it mean being with the person to provide them with emotional support, or does it mean providing the medication to another person? Clarity is definitely required in relation to the definition of this word. Well, the only example I can give is what I know happens in Belgium. You medically facilitate their suicide. So it's not that you're there holding your hand. And when we say suicide, right, it's very clear. And maybe this is why they went with assisted dying. This is a decision that's made and it happens in a controlled environment, generally speaking, to relieve people of physical suffering or a lack of independence or whatever reasons they might give. We kind of already have assisted suicide or end of life in this country. Anyone who's nursed or cared for someone with terminal cancer especially will know that when things get generally bad, it's not the disease which takes them, but usually a heart attack from the morphine driver that's put on to ease the pain. As soon as the driver goes on, it's inevitable. And it can be timed. And I know what you're saying, and that's part of care. And it is that end of life care. But I do understand what you're saying, and it's a point I've made before. Another caller says, do we even need to have the conversation about assisted suicide? It's not a topic that arises in daily conversation. Modern medicine and pain relief methods ensure that end of life is as comfortable and is as painless as possible. Discussing this topic can make it an issue for vulnerable people or elderly people in an abusive relationship. It may make them feel under pressure to seek this opt-out option. Well, listen, we have to have the conversation in a responsible way and give them a voice before it's legislated that they could feel like that. And give people who are in favour of it, like Sylvia, who makes a point that's difficult to argue with, you know, to say, well, can I deny her that right? You know, because I may or may not have to walk in her shoes. Right, okay. Christine joins us on the show now. Hiya, Christine. Sorry for holding you there.
You're okay, thank you.
It's great to have you listening to the show. You're listening to us from Cavan. Right, okay, what are we going to talk about here, Christine? What do you want to say?
Yeah, well, I was just listening to your show there this morning, actually, you know, with regards to the end of life, et cetera, yeah, et cetera. And recently, I'm a bit nervous now, but...
Take your time. It's only me and you, Christine. Relax. It's perfectly fine. Pretend I'm sitting okay in your kitchen and we're having a cup of tea.
All right. I've recently just returned from Spain after having an arthroscopy on my knee. It was a small surgery, so it was, but big surgery to me. I hurt my knee back in January 2022, and I went through everything. I mean, I went to physio, I rested, I did everything, you know, and it wasn't getting better, and it was actually restricting my quality of life. I'm a leader with the Irish Girl Guides. It was stopping me from doing what I wanted to do, et cetera, et cetera. And do you know what? I was getting tablets. I was getting medicine. If I went to the doctors, I was actually being offered another prescription, but I was getting nowhere, you know. So I eventually, after a camp last year, I literally crawled out of the tent. I was in such agony. And at this stage, the meniscus tear that was in my knee was actually, it was putting pressure on my back. So I suppose, to cut a long story short, I went back to the doctor and I said, I need to have something done about this. At this stage, I couldn't walk. The only place I could walk was around our local football pitch. I couldn't go into anything that was an incline. If I wanted to do something as simple as clean out the fire at home, I literally had to put cushions down under my knee. Yeah. It felt like my kneecap was falling off. I went for a walk. You know, it was just a multitude of small, small things. But it had an effect on my quality of life. So I did travel to Belfast, but I realised that that wasn't for me. It wasn't going to work. Unfortunately, I had to prioritise my children's education. So then I found out about a company, Healthcare Abroad. And you know what? They were absolutely amazing. They were just fantastic. They organised absolutely everything for me. And I went to Spain to have my surgery done there. So, do you know what? It was an amazing experience. It was a wonderful experience. But I suppose what really struck me more than anything was the patients that you actually met there. Mm. Their needs, their requirements, the way that they were suffering, and the way that they were actually waiting. Now, there was one guy that actually needed, I think it was two hips and mm-hmm. two knees.
Yeah.
And he was actually told that he would be, it would be around 8 years.
Wow. And does this connect to the conversation about assisted dying, that our flawed health system...
Of course it does.
Our flawed health
How
system...
How can people... Yeah. Yeah, like I says, when I sent in the message, I says, like, I mean, I was younger than a lot of the patients that was out there. Not young, but younger. But I know the effect that this had on my quality of life. For the older people that's actually out there, that actually can't walk, that's waiting, that's going around in serious pain, what effect is this having on their life?
Yeah.
They're in serious pain. You know, they can't do anything. Their quality of life is literally being taken away from them. When something like this, you know, to actually have the treatment they need, whether it's a knee replacement, whether it's a hip replacement, whatever it is, you know, they can actually have that, that can actually give them a better quality of life.
Yeah.
So there's a big debate going on now about, like, I mean, the end of life and everything. But what I would like to see more debating is about what can be done to help the people to actually get the... get the comfort, get the relief that they actually need now, instead of having to go down that road. Now, I know when you're talking about cancer patients and everything and serious diseases and things like that. Are we still there?
Yeah, yeah, I'm listening intently, yeah. Christine.
When we're talking about things like that, you know, it's slightly different. However, there's a lot of people that's actually suffering, you know, and very depressed, because of the quality of life that they're living, because they're not actually getting the care that they deserve.
Yeah,
okay.
All right,
that they deserve, sorry, I should say.
Yeah, yeah. No, listen, we're just against 11. Really strong points made, Christine. And